All right, final unit. And the first chapter of this final unit is about meiosis and sexual life cycles. The opening slide, two photographs that represent the dichotomy with respect to reproduction. There are two major modes of reproduction that organisms use, which are asexual reproduction and sexual reproduction. The hydra, which is a protist on the left, is representing asexual reproduction. The redwoods are sexual. Now, there are, of course, important differences between these. Otherwise, they wouldn't be two different categories. Each of them has advantages and disadvantages. But asexual reproduction is reproduction in which a single parent produces offspring that are genetically identical to that parent. Whereas sexual reproduction involves two parents, each of which contributes some DNA to the offspring, and therefore the offspring are not only genetically distinct from each parent, they're not like either parent genetically, they're also not genetically identical to each other if there are multiple offspring produced. And so, considering asexual reproduction, what would be a situation in which that would be advantageous based on that definition? In other words, when would it make sense to produce offspring that are genetically identical to the parent?
When a species is thriving?
Right. When a species is very well fit to the environment, very well adapted. In other words, why would you want to mix things up if things are working well at the moment? So yes, that's an advantage of asexual reproduction, but what is the problem with that rationale? The problem is that no real environment stays the same. So being adapted to a certain environment is great for that environment, but if things change, then the fitness changes. And if you make offspring that are identical to you, they might not be as fit as you are. On the other hand, sexual reproduction is taken, you know, that's just a crapshoot. You have no idea what you're going to get. And it's certainly possible for offspring to be less well adapted than the parents. But just randomly, it's also possible for them to be even better adapted. And it especially protects against changing environments because of this mixture of genes from both, mixture of DNA from both parents. Okay. Now, slide two, we're going to focus from here on out on sexual reproducing organisms like we are as animals, but animals are not the only ones. Most eukaryotes, well, I should say many eukaryotes are sexual. The huge groups are. Animals, plants, and fungi are all sexual species. But anyway, in slide two, we're using a human as an example, although this would apply to other sexual species as well. The black background photograph that you see here is an example of something that's called a karyotype. And notice that that word has the same root as in eukaryote and prokaryote, meaning nucleus. A karyotype is a photographic orderly arrangement of chromosomes. Specifically, a photograph taken at metaphase. Now, why would we take this at metaphase? Right. They never are as small as they are again than they are at metaphase. So at metaphase, it's easiest to tell chromosomes apart from each other. So that's when the picture is taken. But obviously, a cell does not pose for this photograph. It doesn't line up or doesn't arrange its chromosomes the way they're arranged in this photograph. So this is a cut and paste job. Now, in the old days, it was literal cut and paste, meaning you took a photograph, you cut out the individual pieces, the individual chromosomes in that photograph, arranged them by size in pairs, and then took a photograph of that pasted arrangement. It's still cut and paste nowadays. It's just electronic cut and paste. But one important thing here is that notice that the cell this was taken from, some human in this case, has multiple chromosome types, as you would expect, right? In general, eukaryotes have some number of different kinds of chromosomes that are linear. Each one has two ends, as opposed to circular in prokaryotes. And we always arrange a karyotype by size. So that's why number one here is the biggest, and two and so on, down to the smallest. Now, in this cell, though, there are two of each type of chromosome. So the numbers here, 1, 2, 3, and so on, represent or denote a type of chromosome. And what I mean by a type of chromosome is a chromosome containing a certain number of genes that code for a certain number of proteins. Yeah, it sounds like it. Okay.